Gina Glisson has two lives, her life before August 20th, 2007, and her life after. That day is so vivid, Glisson can still hear the sounds of her son's feet coming down the stairs.
I remember Derek when he got up that morning. He was on the phone talking to my dad. He had called my dad. I remember hearing him say, "Hey, Granddaddy." He was excited.
It was the first day of harvest at Swift Farms in Murray, Kentucky. Derek couldn't wait to get to the cornfields. Glisson remembers it feeling like the hottest day of the year. It was a Monday, she says.
He looked forward to it. I remember him getting in the shower. And then after that,
the phone rang. It was her brother. Derek had been hurt.
He was dead on arrival before they even got there. It was immediate.
Just hours before, Derek, his grandfather, and a couple of other farm workers had been trying to reattach a piece of equipment to a combine. They had gone through the motions to make sure the part was attached, even lifting the piece three times before Derek crawled under the machine. But somehow, it slipped.
It was a tragic, tragic accident is the best way I can explain it. I don't think there was one thing they could have done different.
Farming is among the country's most dangerous occupations. A resource review of data on agriculture-related deaths shows that from 2011 to 2015, Ohio had 101 fatalities, the fifth highest such number in the nation. Kentucky had 65 fatalities over those 5 years, the country's 14th highest. West Virginia had 6 fatalities. Agribusiness leaders say voluntary efforts are improving safety, but safety regulators say enforcement is lacking. Unlike with other industries, regulators are limited in what they can do on the farm.
Basically, OSHA is not allowed to go on any small farm, under 11 workers unless there's a migrant labor camp there. And that means for any reason, if they get a worker complaint, if a worker gets killed, if 10 workers get killed, OSHA can not only not investigate, OSHA can't even step foot on there.
That's Jordan Barab, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of OSHA, the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. Barab says this loophole in worker safety for small farms exists because of the political sway of agriculture lobbyists, including the Farm Bureau. In addition, small farms aren't required to report injuries or obtain workers' comp insurance, which means rates for farm injuries could be much higher than the current reports indicate.
I mean, there's no good health and safety reason for it because a lot of people get hurt or even get killed on farms. There are a lot of dangerous activities, a lot of dangerous machinery, you know, OSHA could address. It's really just a political issue.
Barab says OSHA offers more than just enforcement. Consultation services available in every state allow for inspections to improve safety practices without the risk of penalty.
We all know that there are employers who still want to cut corners, either to save money or because they just don't care. And for those, that type of employer, you need enforcement.
Farm Bureau spokesman Paul Schlegel says the Bureau's policies are decided by delegates from all 50 states that meet annually.
I don't think OSHA was set up to regulate safety on small farms. I just don't think it is. And you've seen for literally decades a congressional directive that supports that point of view. So I don't think that's going to change.
Schlegel says the consensus is that safety awareness works best through grassroots training efforts with local programs. Future Farmers of America provides some of this training. In the Ohio Valley, the FFA has chapters with more than 45,000 students. Farmer and college student Brandon Pepper attended those classes before he graduated from LaRue County High School in Hodgenville, Kentucky.
I feel like there would be a resistance from bringing OSHA on the farm because it just changes laws and everything.
Last year, Pepper says a freak accident on the farm taught him more than classes ever could.
Me and my father and a couple hired hands were working on a piece of tillage equipment out in the field, and all of a sudden it moved very fast, and I didn't even know what had happened, and I looked at my hand. My thumb was hanging on by a little bitty piece of skin. I could have cut it off with a pair of fingernail clippers.
Even if Pepper could turn back the clock and bring OSHA on the farm, he says he wouldn't. OSHA wouldn't approve of the work to begin with, he said.
And it makes things more difficult to do, and they really shouldn't have to be all that difficult. If there was some type of nonprofit organization that wasn't going to come in and tell us what we could or could not do and just try to help us, I feel like that could be beneficial.
That's where organizations like AgSafe, a nonprofit farming training group, can step in. AgSafe started in California in 1991. This year, Development Director Natalie Gupton opened an office in Kentucky.
In our 26 years of existence, we have yet to meet a farmer that wants something bad to happen to their workers at the end of the day. And there's so many organizations that a farmer has to deal with, big or small, when they're working with our nation's food supply.
Gupton anticipates the need for a neutral third party for the rest of the Ohio Valley as well. From proper pesticide use to updated farm equipment, a myriad of compliance concerns that come with at least 8 government organizations overwhelms farmers, she said. Because AgSafe isn't a regulator, farmers and insurance companies seem to welcome AgSafe's presence.
We've had stories from past clients that an issue happened on their farm, but because they were involved with AgSafe, the liability was waived because they had taken the measures and had established protocols and procedures in place that they were not found at fault.
In some parts of farming country, insurance companies offer incentives for safety training. North Dakota, for instance, encourages farmers to enroll in specific training programs for a discount of up to 25% on annual premiums. No such incentives are available in the Ohio Valley. Whether the solution lies in more voluntary or enforcement efforts, the numbers on farming's risk indicate farmers can't be left alone in making their farms more safe for their families or their workers.
We used to live in a world where you think bad things don't happen, and now we're like bad things could be right around the corner at any given moment. So we try to stay more aware. We try to be more safety conscious, I believe.
Glisson has her own incentive plan for bringing awareness to young farmers. This August, she is organizing a tractor pull to raise awareness about the dangers of farming through a scholarship in Derek's memory. This year marks the 10-year anniversary of Derek's death. He was 21 years old. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Nicole Irwin in Murray, Kentucky.